With the help of Hashem, we are going to be learning Lekutei Sichos, Chelek Yudalid Vo'eschanon Aleph, Chelek Yudalid on page 12. We are learning this in partnership with Chabad Sola, in partnership with Chabad.org for the Lekutei Sichos project. This Sicha is a Sicha on the portion of Vo'eschanon, and it is also a Siyum on the Sechtes Shabbos. So in order for us to become more familiarized and to get the proper background to better understand the Sicha, we're going to quickly learn the ending of Masechta Shabbos. We're going to Shabbos Daf Kuf Nun Zayin. We're going to be learning almost the entire Mishnah. And subsequently, we're going to be learning a little bit of the Gemara's explanation going into Kuf Nun Zayin Amid Beis as well. So let's begin. So the Mishnah is speaking about various activities that may be done on Shabbos, including, and we're starting here in the second line in the Mishnah, Upoikikin es hamoir, one is allowed to shutter a window. Now, if you remember that on Daf Kuf Chaf Hey Amid Beis, we had a Mishnah that was speaking about this topic of whether one is allowed to shutter a window on Shabbos. What does shuttering a window refer to? You have a window. So now, in the modern world, you can have shutters that are already attached to someplace in the windowsill, and you can open and close them. That absolutely is not problematic. What were to happen if you have a window, and if you want to shut the light or the wind, you have this board that you can insert, and it fits in the window. So we learned the following, that according to the Tana Rabbi Eliezer, you are only allowed to shutter a window on Shabbos if prior to Shabbos, this shutter is already attached to the building with a rope, and the rope isn't that long. So even when the shutter is not inserted in the window, it's hanging but not laying on the ground. In other words, everyone can see that this shutter is already part of the building, connected to the building, and then there's no problem. But if this shutter is not going to be connected at all, so then when someone is going to be putting it in, being that it was not previously attached, using the words in Rashi, over there in the Mishnah, Daf Kuf Chafei Omid Beis, that it's Mechzeh Kebinyan. It looks like your building. The Chachamim hold that you are allowed to do it. And our final Mishnah is only quoting the Shita of the Chachamim, that yes, Poikikin HaSamoid, you can shutter a window. And as the Gemara explains, the reason for that is because there isn't a problem to add to an oil on Shabbos. The structure is up. You're not building from scratch. You're adding to the building. Adding to something that's already there is something that is permissible. Obviously, you're not adding it permanently. You're adding it something very temporarily because the shutter is meant to be inserted, to be removed. So this type of oil aray or binyan aray, when you're being maisev, is okay. Then the Mishnah says, furthermore, umoydidin es hamatlis, what is allowed to measure a rag, to measure a shmata? What are we referring to? Here we are referring to the smallest garment halachically, that's considered halachically a beged. If you remember, we had this way earlier in the Masechta. If the material, if the fibers are made out of either wool or linen, is the garment has to be 3 by 3 finger breadths. That's the minimum size. If it has that size, it's halachically considered a beged. And therefore, for example, if a source of tumah, one of the dead Shmoyne Sheratzim, a dead rat, were to have contact with this piece of material, being that it's a beged, it becomes tummy. And that's what happened. But now, the garment began to fall apart. It's no longer as big as it was. We don't know whether it still retained the 3 by 3 finger breadths. If it did not, it loses its tumah because it's no longer a keli. This touched something else. We want to make sure that something else is tahor. So on Shabbos, we are allowed to measure this matlis to determine whether it still had the shear and therefore it was mitameh or not. Because when it comes to making such measurements, we put this in the category of tzorech mitzvah because we want to know a halacha, whether that other item is tahor or whether it's tameh. So for a mitzvah, we are allowed to measure. Now, what's the issue with measuring? We'll speak out in a moment. But l'tzoyrech mitzvah, it's permitted. And finally, umoydid denas hamikvah, if you want to measure, another example, you want to measure a mikvah, that's also a measurement l'tzoyrech mitzvah, to know whether the mikvah has the minimum amount of water required, the 40 sa'ah, or not. This is something that's allowed to be done. And now the Mishnah brings a story to prove that indeed this is permissible. Umaisa, b'mei aviv shel Rab Tzadik, that happened in the time of the father of Rab Tzadik, and ubiyemei abba shel ben Batnis. Now the details we will learn, God willing, in the Gemara, but says the Mishnah, shepakaku es ha-ma'or, that they shuttered the window, bit tafiyach, with a earthenware flask. I'll explain that in a moment, exactly what happened. And v'kashru es ha-makeda, and they tied a earthenware utensil, bigemi, with a strand of reed grass. Now guys, tying, kshira, is also something that we learned in the Mishnah Daf Ayin Gimel. So if you are tying something permanently, and the knot is a maisa umen, and it's a professional knot, that is for sure prohibited biblically. When you are tying something, even if you are making a professional knot, that means a knot that a commoner doesn't know how to make. But if your intent is that this should not be there permanently, so for example, if this rope that you use is really animal food, it's a gemi. If I'm going to be using a gemi to tie something, as is in the story, as we'll explain more details, that in itself is a reason for me, dafka, not to intend to leave it there permanently, because I want the gemi later to feed to my animals. So this is a kesher, she'eino shel kayama, but it's a maisa umen, it was a special type of knot. And this normally would be rabbinically prohibited. But again, l'tzoyrech mitzvah, it's permitted. Like measuring is prohibited rabbinically, as we'll see, it's called uvda d'chayil, l'tzoyrech mitzvah, it's permitted. So that was the story, that they stopped up, they shuttered a window with a tafiyach, with a flask, and then they made a knot, v'kashru es ha-makeda b'gemi, it's a kesher she'eino shel kayama, maisa umen, normally it's asur midrabanan, here it was a mitzvah. And why did they do that? Later to find out, im yesh begigis, if there was in the barrel a poiseach tefach imlav, whether there was in the barrel an opening in the size of a tefach or not. So what are we talking about? So scoot down to the end, mamash to the end of the amud, second to last line, going into the last line of the Gemara, that says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, let me tell you the story. And he tells you that hilketi katana hoisa ben shnei batim, there was a narrow alleyway in between two houses. And on Shabbos, someone, Nebach, was passing away in the alleyway. There was about to be the source of Tumah. We're turning now to the final few lines in the tractate, the Masechet Shabbos, Daf Kuf Nun Zayin Amud Beis, at the top of the Amud. Now, happened to be, says the Gemara, that Vigigis Seduka Monachas Al Gabon, that there was a cracked barrel right on top of the corpse to be, the barrel was resting on the walls of the windows that were of the houses that were close to each other. Why do we care? Of course we care. Because if there is someone who passed on, a yid, who lakula almas matama tumas oil, what is tumas oil? It means three things. One of the three applications of oil is that if there is a roof that's above the mace, then everything under that roof will acquire tumas meis, will become an av. And worse than that, if in the walls of the house, which was the case, so there are two houses close to each other, so you have, let's say, the barrel on top, so now the barrel is also laying partially, at least on top of the corpse. If this barrel indeed will create an oil, it's not only that everything else under the barrel will become tummy. It's worse than that. One of the houses had an opening, had a window. And that opening had the size of a handbreadth or more. It was a window. So the halacha is that the tumah doesn't only stay trapped under the oil, but now it also would be able to enter the window and go into that room and be metame everything in that room. So in order for them to prevent the tumah from entering there, first thing they did was upakuku es ha-moir betofiach. So that opening was stopped up, was shuttered, by taking a earthenware flask. Now, if you take an earthenware flask, this is the rule. A clay cheres can only acquire tumah if the source of tumah goes into its inner space. But it's not mekabel tumah if the source touches it from the outside. So if you take an earthenware flask, right, and you have the opening facing in the house, but you have the bottom, which is closed off, facing to the alley, and you insert it into the window, so now halachically, since the keli itself does not become tamei, it stops the tumah from entering. So the first thing they did before the person passed away, if not it's too late, first of all, they shuttered the window. And by the way, that shows you that you can shutter a window. It's temporary, which is why you are allowed to be moisiv in an oil or in a binyan, right, temporarily. But then, they weren't even certain if the oil is a halachic oil. Why did they think that it might not be a tumas oil? There was a barrel. Barrel is a cover. Because in the barrel, there was a crack. Now listen to this other detail, Gevaldik, that if the crack, if the opening in the barrel has the size of a tefach, if any part of the corpse is under that, you know what happens? The tumah, so to say, goes through the cracked barrel, and it doesn't spread under the oil bechlal. And if that were to be the case, then you don't have to keep the window clogged up, shuttered up. So first they shuttered the window to cover all the bases. Now they wanted to ascertain whether indeed you have this tefach opening in the barrel, which is a good thing, because then the tumah will just go through it, go up, and it would not spread underneath it. Or maybe the opening in the barrel was smaller than the tefach, then you got yourself a bona fide oil, and then you got to keep the window shuttered. So now they have to measure the opening in the barrel that's the oil, right, over the mace. So how did they measure it? Again, they took a keli and they tied it with a reed. Like we explained, the definition of a kesher shel kayama, which is prohibited, is if you intend to leave it there. When you use a material that you need yourself for animal food, then you're not going to intend to leave it there because you're going to want to take it back. So they made this knot, and they lowered, you understand, they lowered the makeda in the barrel. If the makeda would fit through the opening, that means the opening has the size of a tefach, that's good. That means that the tumah goes through it. If the makeda would not fit through the crack, that's because the opening in the barrel was smaller than the tefach. Then it's an oil. If it's an oil, then they needed to leave the window shuttered until after Shabbos when they would remove the mace and there would no longer be the source there. Leida im yesh begigas peseach tefach chalav. So that's the story. So in order to prevent tumah from spreading, they did pkika, they shuttered the window, they did an act of kshira, they tied the gemi on this mikeda utensil, and then they measured to see whether the crack in the gigas is big enough to allow tumah to go through it, or whether it's small enough, which makes the oil into an oil, and it keeps the tumah underneath it, and it would spread downwards and potentially enter the window if the window would not be shuttered. Okay, now that we have all this, now let's begin the sicha, my friends. And this is Mamish Gevaldik. Says the Rebbe, Bekesher L'dini Shabbos, concerning the laws of Shabbos, Shemira, Shabbos, Hi, Achas, Maaseres Adibrois, which is also written, recorded in our parsha of Vo'eschanan. Says the Rebbe, Isa B'Mishnah, we learn in the Mishnah at the end, the last Mishnah, like we just learned, of B'Siyu Mesich the Shabbos, U'maisa B'Bei Aviv, Shol Rab Tzadik B'Mei Abba Shol Ben Botnis, that they, in order to figure out on Shabbos to see whether, whether the mace is going to be metame through tumas oil, shapakuku es amoyer, they shuttered the window, right? The Rebbe writes in brackets, moyer means light, but it means chaloin, it means a window. Bitofiach means with an earthenware flask, and that's the beauty of earthenware, that since it's not mekabel tumah from its outsides, it's the best shutter to resolve tumah, because if the shutter itself becomes tameh, it doesn't stop the tumah from entering. But it won't become tameh because the outside was facing the alley. All right, the Rebbe again in brackets, taiches tofiach means pach shol cheres, an earthenware flask. And then maybe bechal there's no oil, right? Because the gigis also had a hole. So for that, the kosher was a makeda. They tied this type of makeda, this type of earthenware utensil, begemi using a reed grass. That guarantees that it's a kesher
She'einoi shal kayama. And Leida, why did they do that? To know in yesh begigas b'seyachtef ha'chayloi, to see whether the crack in the barrel was large enough, which would be advantageous, not allowing the tumah to spread underneath it or not. And umidivreyem, so from that maisa, what do we learn? Lamdu she'poikikin umoydidin v'koshnim b'shabbos. These three halachas. We don't paskin like Rabbi Eliezer and Daf Kuf Chafei Amid Beis. We paskin like the Chachamim, and the way the Gemara explains the Chachamim, that we are allowed to shutter a window because we say that to be moisev in a binyan, in a aray dik away, is lechatchila permitted. And by the way, it's not only permitted l'tzorech mitzvah; it's completely permitted. I'll give you guys a great example. Bekitzer, many people have baby strollers. And you have on the top of the baby stroller already a part that when it rains or when it's very sunny, you can open it up and it creates an oil aray on top of the baby. Are you allowed to open or close it on Shabbos? Absolutely yes, lechatchila, because it's already there. You're only being moisev oil aray, but Shabbos it's mutter. All right? Here, we're just expanding it. Keshitas Rashi, it's also connected to binyan. That bechlal, to be moisev to a binyan, is permitted. You don't even need a tzorech mitzvah. The second din is that your moided din, you can measure. Now, measuring is rabbinically normally prohibited on Shabbos. This is a prohibition known as uvda d'choil. It's a mundane activity. But here, they did it for a mitzvah. Mitzvah meaning to know whether there's tumah, whether there's tara, that's called a mitzvah. And the third thing, the Mishnah says that you can make a knot. We're not speaking about a knot that's of permanence, that's asur midai raisa. We're not speaking about a knot that's not professional and it's a knot that's not going to last like your shoelaces. That's mutter, no problem. You don't need a tzorech mitzvah. We're speaking about a kesher that only a professional knows how to make, which was the knot that they made to lower that keli. But it's not made to last. Normally, that is also asur midrabanan, but tzorech mitzvah, it's mutter. Okay, hainu, shebeshabes, mutter, lifkoik, esachaloin, you are allowed to shutter a window, and limdoit, and to measure, and velikshoid, kesher, she'enish al kayom. I know we only learned the first paragraph, but you push it, it took time because we needed to go through the background. Now, this is Gan Eden, the sikh. Bekitzer, a little quick question and answer. The seder of the Mishnah, mamish, doesn't make sense. The Mishnah is speaking about three dinim. Shuttering, poikikin, the Mishnah is speaking about moididin, measuring, and the Mishnah is speaking about koshin, making a knot. My friends, the order, the way the Rebbe, the way Rabbeinu HaKadosh wrote it, at first glance, doesn't fit. It doesn't fit the story, and it doesn't fit the logic. That will be the kasha. Okay, let's read it inside. Now, in brackets, Ubi Gemara Shamavuer, like we spoke out already by heart, that only medida shal mitzvah moteres. Not to confuse. Measuring is only permitted if it's for a mitzvah. And v'chein din yelik shira, making a kesher she'eina shal kayama, which is a maisa uman, as it says in Shulchan Aruch, that shadak l'tzoyrich mitzvah muter, likshoid kesher uman she'eina shal kayama. Aval, but it's good to know that when it comes to pikika, all right, this is not that relevant because most of us in the developed world, if you have shutters on the window, they are already on hinges. Then even according to Rabbi Eliezer, it's okay. But even if not, if you're doing it just to shutter it, you're not going to leave it there, you can do it lechatchila. Then again, lepkika, mevor betois v'sham, that what? Shehimu teres gam, sheloi lutzorech mitzvah, end of brackets, asks the Rebbe, v'tzorech lahavin, we have to understand. Hatam, the reason. Masha haseder b'ha Mishnah hu. Why does Rabbeinu HaKadosh first write poikikin? Now poikikin, that's good. But then, moididin, measuring, the koshinin and tying. Got a problem with the order. Yes, Shleimer. Now, that poikikin comes before the latter two, moididin, the koshinin. That's simple. Yes, Shleimer, the pashtus. Mipnei shekach, dekach, hava uvda. That was the story. First, they shuttered the window to cover our bases, just in case the gigis doesn't have a peseach tefach. Yes, it creates an oil. At least the window was shuttered. And then what? But then, what did they do first? Then they tied, and then they measured. In that story, first they tied, and then they measured. Rebbe writes it in the opposite order. Oy gewalt. Shemetchila pako samoyer v'acharkach koshru madudu. Aval ofizeh, but according to the seder of the story, havalele meimar, first v'koshren and then umoydedin. Shaharei tchila koshru samakeda, and only afterwards, and only through tying it, were they able to lower that makeda inside the barrel to see whether it fits through the crack. And that's the way they measured it. Leidem yesh begigas peseach tefechem lav. So if you're going to follow the story, it's out of order. But you're going to come and say, no, it doesn't have to follow what happened in the story. There's some other logic. The Rebbe says, yeah, there is another logic. But the other logic makes our question even stronger. What's the other logic? The gam im tim soloimer. The hatam lahakdamas din de poikikin hu. Loi rak mipnei dekach hava uvda. Ki im gam. This is good klalim to remember. The Rebbe is quoting a Tosfos in Kedushin Daf Mem Aleph that writes the following. There are many times that Rebbe, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, when he puts different dinim in the Mishnah, he writes various clauses, one after the other. Many of them are very similar. And then the question is he going menakal alakoved or menakoved alakal? Are we going from the simpler case to the more complex case or the opposite around? Then similarly, many times Rebbe writes words, like here, words, it's not clauses. Poikikin, moidedin, koishrin. So Tosfos gives a klal. When you have two clauses, it's called shtei bavois. It can either be zu ve'ein tzarech leimer zu, which means I'm telling you the greatest novelty, the biggest chiddush, and then I'm going to something that's lesser of a chiddush. It can also be the opposite. We go first the lesser chiddush to the greater chiddush. Both ways can work. But, says Tosfos, whenever Rebbe is not writing clauses, he's writing words, like here, a word, poikikin, right? Moidedin, koishrin. If you want to understand why the first one comes first before the second, the rule is, says Tosfos, shebeshtei teivois haseder hu, Zu ve'ein tzarech leimer zu. Rebbe is first going to write the biggest chiddush. And then, once he mentions the greatest chiddush, he writes what's relatively a lesser chiddush. We'll explain at the end the concept of milmaila lamata, milmata lamaila. We'll speak out that later for halftime. But that's a klal, that's a yesoid that Tosfos establishes. And the Rebbe says it's beautiful. Poikikin is the biggest chiddush. It begins great, but we're going to have the same problem now, noch added with the Tosfos. B'meila muven, shetzricham l'shan is tchila din, shiyesh b'chidush yoyser. V'lochin bo kan tchila din de poikikin, mishum yisroin achidush shaboy. There is, from these three halachis, whether you can shudder on Shabbos, adding something temporary to a building, whether you can measure on Shabbos for a mitzvah, whether you can tie a temporary maisa umen, professional knot, for a mitzvah, from these three, the biggest chiddush, says the Rebbe, is poikikin. Why? V'hainu, the kivin she'etiru lifkoik. Even though that it does look like a binyan, which is the reason why Rabbi Eliezer very much limits the times that you are allowed to shudder. Harei mochrach, shezeu b'chol oifin, gam sheloi l'tzorech mitzvah. Like we explained, that when we paskan like the chachamim, and you are allowed to do it, even if it's not l'tzorech mitzvah, and actually, the Rebbe quotes a Tosfos on Daf Kuf Chavav that Tosfos writes the Mishum Mitzvah Lohaya Matirim. That Poikikin, if we were to consider this building, then even if it would have been a Tzorech Mitzvah, we would have disallowed it. It would have been prohibited. And therefore, the Heter of Pikika is the biggest Heter. You can do it even Shaloy Tzorech Mitzvah. It's a big novelty to say, we don't consider that similar to building. When the Chachamim did allow us to do it, it wasn't a carte blanche heter, it was only lakrat tzorech mitzvah canal. So therefore, poikikin, now that the Rebbe is paskening like the Chachamim, clearly, even shaloi l'tzorech mitzvah, that's taka the biggest novelty, so that's why Rebbe writes poikikin first. But now let's go back to the next two. Rebbe writes moidedin koishrin. The story was the opposite order. But let's put the seder of the story. Let's go now to what's the bigger novelty, what's the lesser novelty. First of all, when it comes to saying it, whether it is l'tzorech mitzvah or mamish or izmuter, they're both the same. The achidush din b'shneim shaveh, right? Ube'ein yisrin chidush me'medida. Mistaben, and since each one has the same level of heter, it's only mutar l'tzorech mitzvah. So first of all, l'chaura, you have to go back to the seder of the story. Tzorech liyos al pi sidra b'maisa b'poyel, which is k'shira k'ayin l'medida. So we're back to our kasha. Why did the Rebbe write moided and then k'ishden? And furthermore, let's think a little bit. Says the Rebbe, va'ad rabba l'chaura the heter the k'shira, the heter that you can make a knot. I would argue, yesh chiddush yoiser mi beheter medida. It is a greater chiddush. It's a greater novelty. All of this is underlying the kasha on the order. Why iser medida b'shabbos? Why are you not allowed to measure? Hu mipnei shehu maisa choyl v'zilzil shabbos. It's a weekday activity. It's called uvda d'choyl. And there's a certain disrespect for Shabbos. Ma she'inkin the iser of kshira, which is kesher, she'eino shel kayama mitam uba'oifen that midivrei soifrim, the Chazal consider this are still a knot. Taka midoy raisa, it has to be professional and it has to be to last. The Chachamim say no, that tying a knot, if it's a professional knot, which is what they tied in the story, which is what the Mishnah is speaking about, even though it's not going to be of permanence, rabbinically, it's called a knot. Now guys, making a knot is asur in the Malachas. So this is close to our prohibition d'oraisa. So l'chura, making a knot is more prohibited than measuring. Measuring is not compared to any of the lamates malachas. We're not, God forbid, minimizing uvda d'choyel, but uvda d'choyel, and we learned already, Baruch Hashem, for those of us who learned Shabbos, is taka the weakest of all of these surah of Shabbos. So for them to be matir uvda d'choyel, it should be easier than for them to allow a kesher that's asur midrabanan. Hainu bekesher shu doyma l'kshira doyreis. Val pizeh pashut yoyser lasur midivrei soifrim kshira doyma l'mlocha doyreis. It should have been more prohibited than to prohibit midivrei soifrim measuring shehi rak maisa d'choil. And therefore, this is all part of the kasha v'lochen kishetiru shneim. When indeed the Chachamim did allow us to do both. Oh, and by the way, these two are only letzayrech mitzvah. Harei beheter kshira revusa yiseirim beheter amedida, the greater novelty, the greater heter, was to allow making this sort of knot. And again, furthermore, v'im kein, gam mitam zeh havalei lememer tchila, koishnen and then moedidin. So the kasha is on the order of Rebbe in the Mishnah. L'chura, it should have said, poikikin, koishnen, o moedidin, gavaldik. So now, base says the Rebbe Yuvin calls behegdim. Masha shoninu betchilas mesechta Shabbos. This is the Rebbe. We're going. We're linking. We're connecting. Right. The ashlamta with the aschalta. Anotz tchilas and besoifon. That the beginning of the whole mesechta begins with the isur of hoytzah. Shemeleches hoytzah. As we learned extensively in the first Mishnah, that the biblical prohibition of hoitza'ah, of transferring something from one halachic domain to the other, is comprised of two steps: uprooting it in one domain and putting it down in the other domain. Aval, however, biblically, if you only made a akira, you only uprooted it, beloy hanacha, or if someone else made the akira, you only made the hanacha, oy b'hanacha beloy akira, as we learned in the first Mishnah, eina asura ki'im midivrei soif. Okay, now, v'yidu akush al zeh, it's known the question on this, lama loy ti'asir midoy reise gam akira levad, why isn't only an akira biblically prohibited? Biblically, oy hanacha levad, or only putting it down, asur from the Torah. Why should it be mitam chatzi shiur ay gavalt? So we have in Yuma and in other places throughout Shas the machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Eish Lakish, and we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan that chatzi shiur is prohibited biblically. A punishment you'll only get if you violate it with the prescribed minimum amount. But as far as the violation is concerned, chatzi shiur asur min haTorah. And the Rebbe quotes here in the footnotes, we have the Sanashi Daf Ayin Dalid, that we compare doing one of the violations of Shabbos lesser than the right shir to the general concept of Chatzi Shir. For example, when the Gemara asks on Daf Ayin Dalid, if you bake less than the minimum amount, you should be Chayiv Doir Aisa because it's Chatzi Shir. And Rashi there brings down the Yuma, the concept of Chatzi Shir, Asur Men HaTorah.
So again, we're not speaking about someone who should get penalized for that, but why is it only us in Midrabanan, and Akira should be half of the shear of the Hanacha? Says the Rebbe, mevuar b'yishuv adavar. No. Alpi hadiuk, b'had goshas haloshin, the high klal agufa, look at the words of this klal, which is chatzi shiur. A half, half doesn't mean 50%. It means a part of. Shiur is quantity, a half of the amount, part of the amount. There is a lack in, there is a quantitative lack, not a qualitative lack. In other words, the isur is only when you're doing a chatzi shiur. Hainu shechoserak b'shiur, which is the kamus ha'isur. But not if you did something that you're lacking, not in the quantity, it's lacking in the quality, that's less than chatzi shir. Then bachlal, you didn't violate anything biblically. And v'chein hu b'nidin didan, that the Rebbe is quoting those who explain that when it comes to one only making a akira or someone only making a hanacha, says the Rebbe the words, it's not chatzi shir, it's called chatzi melacha. Chatzi melacha. Half of the, and not chatzi shir. In other words, you only did half of the quality of the act of transference, because transference means uprooting it from one domain and putting it down in another domain. Now, there is a minimum amount. Like if you are transporting food items, normally it has to be in the amount of a dried fig. So if you take half of that and you made a yakira and the hanacha, ooh, that you got yourself a chatzi shir. Because you did the act of itzah with a lesser amount. If you only did an akira or only an anacha, it's not pshat you did a half a shir. No, you didn't. You did half of the malacha. You didn't do an act of itzah at all. And therefore, it's not prohibited min atoyr. The yesh loimer continues the Rebbe, shal derech zeh hu gam benigei lekshir. When it comes to tying, to the malacha of tying, the luchura, you can ask, gam b'kesha she'en shal kayama, when you're tying and not a non-permanent knot, hainu kisha chasar b'siyum b'shleimu shal malachas akshira, maisu uman, mipnei she'eno koysher, al dashi yishar kein kol zman she'efshel aliyas lekiyum. In other words, the fact that when you are tying it from the beginning, you're not intending that it should stay there forever, right? So that's why you're not violating the biblical tying of knots on Shabbos. Again, says the Rebbe, here you can also ask, if you had in mind that it shouldn't be permanent, it should be temporary, why isn't that a half a shear? So the Rebbe is borrowing the same concept and applying it over here. We don't view as a knot that's not permanent as, oh, it's a knot, but since it's not going to be as lasting, as long lasting, so there's a lack in the quantity, says the Rebbe, no. Kiim, we view it as a half of a melacha, meaning chaser be'echus ve'gidrei umohusa shel hamelacha. Meaning, ki hadas sheyishar kein la'olam, the intent of the one making the knot, the biblical violation of I'm making this knot to stay, that intent is part of the very definition of the melacha itself. And if that intent was not there, then you didn't do the melacha. So very good. So the Rebbe introduces the concept of chatzi melacha versus kashi chatzi shir, and the Rebbe's machadesh that we apply the same concept that a kesher she'enu shel kayoma is not a chatzi shir, it's a chatzi melacha. Explaining why it's not osur midoraisa. Gimel aval al pizeh, but now tzarech lahavin b'malacha soitzo by the hakira or by the hanocha levadon, which is also midivrei soifrim loy motzinu sheyatiru al tzarech mitzvah. There, no one made it permitted for a mitzvah. Adarabba, for those who learn Shabbos, and we all will be learning Shabbos sooner or later. What's the first Mishnah giving as an example for an act of hoitzo'ah? The asher, the ani. Why? To be merame is that even if you're giving tzedakah, you're giving food to an ani, you can't break the Shabbos. You can't even break a rabbinic hoitzo'ah. There is no heted l'tzorech mitzvah. Shatam shoshanu chacham b'mishnasam, reish mesechta Shabbos, hadin do hoitzo'ah, ba'ani v'asher,
Hu bechdei lo hayres de gam hoytsas de nesina sadaka. Right? Me asher lo ani is asur. Hainu shasur gam lo tzorech mitzvah sak gam lo tzorech mitzvah. Even though the Akira and Hanach are only in the case of the rabbinic violation. So the Rebbe wants to understand, why taka? Umayishna, when it comes to the half of Malacha of making a knot, there the Chachamim were more lenient. Be consistent. If Chatzi Malacha, taka it's not asa midoraisa. But if Chatzi Malacha becomes permitted for Tzorech Mitzvah, then it should be by Akira and Hanach. And if not, then why was it permitted when it comes to making a knot? So the Rebbe goes further. Ubatam achiluk yesh loimer. That indeed, the af sheshneim asurim edivrei soifrim. Mikol mokoim ein tam ho isur shav, it's not the same. Tam isur ha itzoh bakiro oi banocha bulvadu, as Chazal say. Why did the sages say you can't only make an akira or only make an hanocha? Is because gezeira shema yovayu kol echad ve'echad mehem lasis malacha shlema b'shabbos, because each one might go more. If a person only did the akira, what happens if they were to make the hanocha? Then they themselves will make that act into a biblical violation. Misug hadvarim, so this falls into the category she'asru chachamim, because gezeira shema yavi mehem isur skila. Don't take this step, because if you'll take this step, you might take the next step, and then you'll be chayv skil. Masha'in kein tam isur kshiras kesher she'erin shal kayama. Who, again, the Rebbe is quoting the words of the Rishonim, why did they say that you may not even make a temporary knot? She'midivrei soifrim nikra ze gam kein shal kayama. The Chazal didn't say it's because you might make it permanent. Doesn't say those words. You made it temporary. It's because the Chachamim, they define such a knot, even though biblically it's not defined as permanent. Midrabanan, we define it as you made a knot. Hoyel v'oymed l'skaim eizaz man, because at the end of the day, you are tying it for a certain amount of time. We're not going into the sicha, and there's many opinions all the way into Shulchan Aruch, how much time is needed for it to be defined permanent or temporary. But temporary doesn't mean for a second. So the words that we find in the Rishonim is that the reason why Chazal asered the kesher she'einu shel kayama, they never said because you might end up violating an isur d'oraisa. Now, why they didn't say that, we'll get to that in a moment. But the words that they use is because they defined this as a kesher shel kayama. Haynu shehu misug hamalachis she'asru chachamim b'pnei she'hem doimim lemalachis. Just going back, that many of our group, we taka wanted to have better clarity, and this is beautifully addressed here, to the different types of rabbanans. So you have a rabbanan, don't do aleph, because if you do aleph, then you might end up doing something else on top of the aleph, then you're going to come to violate the isur d'oraisa. Chazal did not use those words when it comes to making a temporary knot. The words are, is that the Chazal defined this temporary knot as a permanent knot. And therefore, you're doing something that looks like an isur d'oraisa. It's very different. Don't do this because you might end up violating a d'oraisa, or don't do this because this looks like an isur d'oraisa. Now, the Rebbe is going to address in the next if, why don't we say the same thing by the knot, that you might make this permanent. The Rebbe is going to ask it and answer it. But before we get to the reason behind it, first to know what did the Rishonim say. Umekiven she'isura shel melechas hakshira she'ena shel kayama. Eina mishum gezeira shema yovei al yidei zele isur doiraisa. Ela rak mepnei she'doi mihi lemelocha doiraisa. Harebo ze yeshmokim lachalik v'loimer. Here it says the Rebbe, now we're going to make the following difference. Teshani b'mokim she'esh eizet soirech mitzvah. That here we do differentiate and say, ooh, if you're doing this not for a mitzvah, it's permitted. When it comes to the malacha of Akira and Anocha, and there the issue is because you might end up violating an Isur D'oraisa, that's worse. You might end up violating an Isur D'oraisa, so it should never be permitted. And indeed, my friends, it's taka never permitted. Harim istaber, shelazeh yesh lachush v'le'esur gam kesha malacha ila tzorech mitzvah, because we don't want you to violate ever an Isur D'oraisa. But now the Rebbe says, why? Why is it so? Why didn't Chazal say that if you make a knot, she'ena shel kayama, why didn't they say that you might make it shel kayama? Aval hagufa doirish bir lama beemes legazru meikara the dina gam bemelachas akshira sheinu shal kayama mikiven shehi chatzi melacha. There is a place to be afraid. Shema Yovei Lasis Kesher Shel Kayama, and then you'll be violating a Malacha Doiraisa. The Lachin Tehei Asura Gam L'Tzorech Mitzvah. And to make the question stronger, says the Rebbe V'Hadvarim Kal V'Chaymer. Think about it. For me to go from an Akira to a Hanacha as well, I need to do something else. I need to take another action. God forbid, doing so would make me violate an Isur Doiraisa. For me to make a Kesher She'ena shal kayama into a kesher shal kayama, I don't even need to take another action. I just need to change my das. It's easier to do that. In l'chura, it's even closer to violating an isur d'oraisa. This makes the question bigger. V'advarim kal v'chaymer im gozru b'akira oy b'anocha levada afal pi she'i efshu lovim imenu l'malacha shleima. An akira can never become a full malacha only if you'll do another act. Ki imal idei pu'ula neisefes, which is lanich l'achri ha'akira, oy lahagdim la'anocha, before la'anocha to make the akira. And nevertheless, Chazal said, as the Rebbe quoted, that the reason why we may not make just an akira or just an anocha is because you might end up violating an isur skila. Harei kol shchein shahava lei ligzor b'kesher she'en eshal kayama. Shebechdei la'avar boy al isur min ha'toyra, It's even closer to an Isra Skila. So why didn't they use that type of Gzeira Midrabanan? Dalid says the Rebbe V'Habir Bozeh. Basbara Satam, Sha'atoyra Osra Dafka Keshe Shal Kayama. Why indeed is the Torah only prohibiting a permanent knot, Yeshleim? That Meleches Hakshira Teichana, that the definition of a knot, listen to these words, is chibur ve'ichud shol shnei devarim. It's the putting together, the unification of two separate things. Even in this example, two different ropes, two different threads. Chutim uchayoytze bozeh. Ve'ein hakesher roi li'ikarei b'shem chibur ve'ichud amiti. Union means something that is a union, not temporary. If it's temporary, even while it looks like it's united, it's not united. Ela ba'oifin shenasa al menas sheyishor kein la'olam. I know the Rebbe says that we're not speaking necessarily about the physicality of the knot. Yet, it's about your intent. But that makes all the difference in the world. Shahadas sheyehei kesher shel kayama, that this need for this to be a biblical violation, which is that you have to intend for this to be a permanent knot, who tnai b'melechas, it's like a condition that makes your act called a knot. V'lochin, im hischavan lechatchila, if in the beginning you intended lekoishnam, to bind them, but rak le'ezazman, only temporarily, u'lahatira macharkach, and then ultimately to undo it, like in the case, like we mentioned, that they used the gemi because they were planning to undo it, to give that gemi itself was needed to give it for the animals. Haregam bizman shehem kishurim yachtov, while they are still tied together. Ein ze chibur amiti, it's not a real chibur. Ve'ein ze begeder kshira she'asr toyra, it's not bechlal similar to that which the Torah prohibited. Technically, it's easy to go from one to the other. But conceptually, a kesher she'ena shel kayama is much further, is infinitely further than a kesher shel kayama. An akira, or only a hanacha, is not infinite distant from the isur d'oraisa. It's a half of melacha. It's a half of melacha. This is bechlal not considered biblically a tying of a knot. It's much further. And therefore, that's the biur why l'tzorech mitzvah tzmutar. Val pize yuvan shebeloade hadashi yekayim akasher harei eno ingen shenechzar chelik mishleimis pulas hamalach elo shenedar milechatchila the ikir of the melacha. The melacha is making a knot. What's a knot? Binding, unifying. If it's not going to remain that way, it was never unified. Shorei hachutim einom kishurim umochadim be'emes. In the footnotes, the Rebbe brings that which Chassidus brings many times about waters that are called Mayim HaMachazvin, because every once in 7 years they dry up. Even when there's the water, it's fake. It's fake waters. It's not called a Yichud.
If you put two things together and you make a temporary knot, temporary means you just brought them close to each other. That's not the meaning of a kesher. They're not one with each other. You have two strands touching each other. Therefore, the Rebbe says, since the concept is so distant, the Chazal Taka said it's aser, because it's similar to, but not because this will lead to that. It's a whole different concept.
That
since in its chitzonius it looks similar to a malacha of making a knot, it's not because you might end up violating yourself. Therefore, when it comes to the malacha of chitzah, rabbinically, you may not even only do a akida. You may not rabbinically even only do a anocha.
That's different. Not because it looks like carrying. No, because it might lead to carrying.
Gidra shamalacha zoom in atoidahi. The definition of carrying of hoitzah, right, is either hoitzah, transferring it from a reshus hayacha to a reshus harabim, or in the parentheses, transferring it from a reshus harabim into a reshus hayachid, right, changing its domains, and that includes different parts, an akira and a hanacha. If one part is missing, right? If one part is missing, I know, says the Rebbe, the malacha is not there. It's not a chatzi shir. It's a chatzi malacha. But it's a chatzi malacha. It's a chatzi malacha. A part of it you have. Lachin yesh le'eser chelka mishum gezeira, that you might end up doing all of it. And you might end up violating an isur min atoira. That gezeira is so strong that even letzorech mitzvah they were not matir it. Very good. Now says the Rebbe. Now let's come back to our kasha. Al pize yivur gam atam mashashonu b'mishnah at the end of the mesechta moidedin and then koishin. And as we explained, sai in the seder of the story, sai based on the Tosfos and Kedushin Mem Aleph, the order should have been the opposite. Says that Eben is boy Lael shebekshiras kesher she'enu shel kayoma asruach hachamim. There isn't even a chelik of the isur doiraisa. It's only similar to. Oh, ein shum chelik mimelechas akshira doiraisa. And ho'isur urak mipnei shadoime ha'kesher l'kshira gemura min ha'toira. Dahainu, she'en isurei ba'mitzat pu'ulas ha'kshira. It's not that your action inherently is prohibited, because your action, which is a temporary is not called a knot. Temporary is not called a kesher. You're not doing anything inherently wrong. Ki'im rak mipnei, that it looks like something else. She'yesh lidam moisa li'yanach, which is to a malacha that's asr. B'li shum shaychus aleh, when it's really bepnimiyus, not connected, zoysei meres, shaluli hadimyoin, if it would not have looked similar, b'chitzoinius, externally, ain tam la'esrek shira mitzaratz. In other words, the prohibition per se, the Rebbe is arguing, the Isur of Keshira is a lesser type of Isur. We began with the premise that Uvda Dechoyl is like a pure rabbinic, and many times we can be lenient. The Rebbe says no, that when you compare the Isur of Uvda Dechoyl, which is a rabbinic, versus Keshira, Uvda Dechoyl is worse than a Kesher She'enu Shel Kayoma. It's a greater, conceptually, violation of Shabbos, which means the heted was a greater novelty, and we are following the Tosfos in Kedushin, that Rabbeinu HaKadosh writes that which is a greater chiddush, and then he writes that which is a lesser chiddush. Masha'en ken pola samedida, the afal pi she'en isura mitzad shaychus l'malach asura min ha'toira. True, it's not compared to, it's not part of it, it's not similar to it, it's a whole different type of rabbinic isur. Uvda d'choyel. Ela shekol yisoid yisuru hurak men derabanan. Emes. However, ula miidach harei mizeh gufa muchach sheyisura hu mitzad atzma. The chachamim asers uvda dechoyl. The action of medida, measuring, is rabbinically prohibited. It's mezalzel Shabbos. The Rebbe brings in a footnote 38 something moiredik. He brings from a tshuva from Nachsam Sofer
who writes that Bechlal people have akasha when it comes to the second day Yomtiv, that it's minig aviseinu biyodeinu, because originally we did not know when was Rosh Chodesh, and the kasha is on Shavuos. What's the kasha on Shavuos? Shavuos Bechlal doesn't have a date in the Torah. Shavuos is right to 50th day from the Omer. By the time you come to that, everyone knows when the first day of Pesach is. So why does Shavuos have 2 days? The Chasam Sofer points out that the second day Shavuos was as aloy plug. Since every Yontav of Chutz Laretz has 2 days, so does Shavuos. So he argues that the second day Yontav of Shavuos is a lot more chamur than the second day Pesach, than the second day Sukkos. Because that is a doubt, even though it's a doubt of an Isur Doiraisa, but it's a Sufik, it's based on a Sufik. Second day Shavuos is lechatchila, it's never connected to a Sufik, it's a Vaday Dirabanan. So a Vaday Dirabanan is more chamur than a Sufik, Midoiraisa. Says the Chasam Sofer. So the Rebbe is saying this is very similar to our thought. On one hand, of course, Uvda Dechoyel is like you can say the weakest Derabanan. We're not connecting it to an Isur Doraisa. But on the other hand, the Chachamim said, don't do Uvda Dechoyel. It's a Vadai. It's not because it looks like a little bit Bechatsoinius. It is inherently not allowed to be done because of Uvda Dechoyel. Umitam ze mistaber that medida shehu begeder isur mitzad atzmoi yesh lahachmer bo yoyse mebkshiro. Shein isur only because it looks like. V'lochein, when the Mishnah bo lahoyres shteim hutru lo tzorech mitzvah, harei beheter hamedida ikere vusi yeseira. It's a bigger novelty. Umishum ze nakta, and that's why Rabbeinu HaKadosh said that first. Again, that's the Tosfos that the Rebbe quoted, Kedush and Mem Aleph, that when it comes to Rabbeinu HaKadosh writing different Tevois, it's always first the bigger Chiddush into the lower Chiddush, into the lesser Chiddush. Shachiddush Sarech Liyah is Nishna Tchila. So therefore he writes Moedidin, then he writes Koshrin. Now let's open up the Chassidusha part of the Sikha. And all of this is reflecting and it's connected to the pnimius of Moedidin, of Poikikin, Moedidin and Koshrin. And we're going to see, like Alpi Nigla, the Seder is Meduyak, even more so Alpi Chassidus. Says the Rebbe, V'abiyur Alpi pnimius Onyanim. That Lama Nishnu Gimel Inyanim Elu Bahaseder, first Poikikin and then Moedidin and then Koshrin. Ubehegdim Diokaloshin Poikikin. Poikikin means we shudder. Beloshin Hoive. Upa'ula vadois. Not that you may do it. You may do it as a one-time action. No, that we are almost like we are continuously doing an act of pkika on Shabbos. V'loitana mutter lifkoik uchayoitzeboi. Shemizem mashma remes. Shekein tzirichim lasois beruchnias. V'shekein oisim tamid. We have to do so, and indeed, this is what we do always. What does it mean to be poikik? So says the Rebbe in this boyer b'makam acher, we learned elsewhere, hatam al pi pnimis onyan. The reason why Masechta Shabbos begins dafke b'dinei hoitzo. And yeah, we have the Tosfos in the beginning, and that it's a malachi geruah, v'chulei v'chulei, but the reason al pi pnimis is, b'pnei sheberuchnias, harei ze inyan klali b'chol isurei Shabbos. When we are beginning describing a violation of Shabbos, a chilul Shabbos, all of it is expressed through Hoitzah. How so? Shal yidei asiyas hamalachis asuris. By doing any act that's prohibited to be done on Shabbos, moitziin mirishus hayachid. We are taking that action out of the real rishus hayachid. Who's the yachid? God Almighty, yichida shel olam. And we are temporarily, until there's tshuva, we are inserting that action, l'reshus harabim, meaning in parentheses to the tura, the pruda, to the mountains that are separated, which is the world of klipas. In other words, all Isurei Shabbos is transferring something out of Hashem's domain, so to say. Everything is always in Hashem's domain, but in a revealed way, and now, in a revealed way, this is outside that domain. So says the Rebbe, now let's bring this full circle. And based especially on the rule that watch when we are concluding the Masechta Shabbos, we are concluding properly keeping Shabbos with all of its details.
And when you finally properly keep Shabbos in the positive way, do you know what you do? You do poikikin and moididin and koshrin. It's mamash amazing. Explains the Rebbe. Mevor bechama mekoymes. That we do separate Shabbos into three different times. Hachiluk shebein gimel azmanam de Shabbos. Number one, Maale Shabsa, Friday night. Number two, Yoyim de Shabsa, Shabbos day. And number three, Zman Mincha Shabbos, the time of Mincha, which is also known as Raive de Chol Raivin. And as the Rebbe explains the following, Shabbalel Shabbos, Friday night, that's the time, Hu Aliyas HaMalchus, that there we have the ascent of the Sfira of Malchus, that during the week was invested in the worlds of Biyah, and it goes back up to its home, to the world of Atzilus. In order to be mevarer berurim, and as we have in the pasuk in Mishlei, that ragleho yordois etc. Ubeleil Shabbos he oilam isham latzilus, and says the Rebbe, when we kiven shah oilam is mekablam is firas amalchus, since all the worlds receive their vitality and life from the world of from the sphere of malchus. And on Friday night, Malchus is completely enveloped in the world of Atzilus. So therefore, the world has a much greater koyach in it. Harei meir oz bibiyah, sfiras ha-Malchus. Not the way Malchus during the week is already melubash in biyah. No, Friday night Malchus goes back to Atzilus. Kifishi be Atzilus. Then, achar kach, biyoyim ed shabsa, meir, even something greater, Bechina Nalas Yoiser, which is the level of Zah, which is also known as the Midois of the world of Atzilus. And all of that goes into the worlds. And now, V'acharkach B'zman Deraiva Deraivin, right, the secret of the secret, Hu Giloi HaBechino Madrega Shelamaylam Izo Malchus, there's already a Giloi in all of the worlds, something that's greater than the levels of Zah and Malchus. What pshat greater? In other words, the Zoh and Malchus have a yichud, and in order for two different things, and sometimes opposite things, for them to be able to get together, that's because both of them are accessing a light that's infinitely greater than both, which can include both of them. So it's the time of a yichud of Zoh and Malchus, which also means that there's a gilui or which is much greater than both. And therefore, for example, we say by Friday night, Filas Arvis, V'yunuchu Va, in the feminine, V'yunuchu Va refers to Malchus. In Tfilas Shachris, we say V'yunuchu Vai, in the masculine, referring to Zah. And in Tfilas Mincha, what's the Nusach that we say in Shmona Esri, V'yunuchu Vam, because that's when we are having access to the Yichud of Zah and Malchus. V'hine, Mekiv and Shebelel Shabbos, Yesh Aliyah So'ilumis, Sfiras HaMalchus, Me'ira Bibiyah, Kefi Shehi Ba'atzilus. And because of this additional, much greater light of godliness in the worlds, Lachain Mizbatlin, Bilel Shabbos, Kol HaKlippos, all the Klippos become nullified. Bimois Achoyel, during the weekdays, Mekivin Shemalchus Yiradis Levarad Birurim, Malchus has to descend to be Mevarad Birurim in the worlds of Biyah, Hadei Shaklippos Yesh Lehem Tvisa Smokim, Lachain Lenis Batla HaKlippos Baha'ilamas. Fakert, you're going to do Birurim. That means that you're dealing with them. So there's a them. Masha'inkin on Shabbos, mikivin she'sfira samalchus oila oz batzilus. Then, and in the world of atzilus, she'ein bar ra klal, as it says, lo yegurcha, with you, ra does not live. You meaning with you and atzilus. Lachin ha'oilam hu b'matzev kizeh, that all of the klippers are bottom. Amnon, moving. She'bezeh, that aliyah samalchus happens. And therefore there is a bittle of klippers. Shayech v'koshur zeh b'mida yedua l'avoidas adam. In as much as this happens, but like everything else that happens, there is always a connection to our avoidam. And therefore, indeed, v'lochin omru razal b'negea l'avoidas b'nei Yisrael, that we are referred to as those, we the Jewish people, that nasis shutev l'hakadosh baruch b'maisa bereshis, that we become partners, based on what Chazal tell us. We're speaking about our avoided dafke connected to this concept of bittul of klippas, and we're quoting here a statement that we have in Bava Basra, daf chafeyomid beis, when the Gemara is speaking about the whole sugya of ruchais, and we have certain concepts. We have the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, however we are to understand it, that ruach tzafoynus eino misubeves, that the northern side is not enclosed, So there we have the concept in the Gemara that there's some sort of dome that surrounds the world, and that dome, right, is open in the northern latitudes and other types of pshat of that Gemara. But what that really means is Hainu Shemitzat Habriya Mitzad Atzma Hareitzat Sofin. Creation, as creation is by itself, the northern side. And what does north represent? Hamayda, it represents on the source of and the place of klipos. As we have a pasuk that mitzofin tipasach hara'a, that the northern side is open, meaning not that, so to say, Hashem made the klipos, but there is a potential, there is an ability for them to exist. Sheyeshnei makim liklipos. So there's an opening. So when we're speaking about Shabbos and our responsibility to be part of this gewaldikite that happens on Shabbos, which is that there's a bittel of klippas. What's the meaning of bittel of klippas? That the northern side is closed up, is shuttered up, poikikin. Avol b'Shabbos, shalidei avoidus b'nei Yisrael, hamalchus oila, and va'alidei ze mizbatlois haklippas harei ze ki'ilu oisim v'soismim esadat sofen. It's ke'ilu, we are partners with God for Shabbos to completely close off and thus to complete the entire creation, which is why we are taka called shutiv l'hakadosh baruch hu b'maaseh bereishis, because we are partners, meaning that our avodah affects something in the creation of the world itself, referring to Hashem as the creator of the world. V'davar ze nase teikuvu miyad b'chnisas haShabbos, through Kabbalah Shabbos, and through right away beginning Shabbos by keeping it, being mekabel it, and by observing it. That's poikikin, gevaldik. V'acharkach, and afterwards, kischada shel avodah zu, as a subsequent reward for our avodah of being mekabel Shabbos, of being shomer Shabbos, is misalim b'yom haShabbos. On the day of Shabbos, we go to even a greater level, which is like we mentioned, that there is a gilui of the lights of Zohar v'Atzilus. And then, misalim oid yoser, ad legilui ha'or shalomaylam is on malchus. Miyachadon, it's such a great light that it brings together his own malchus. It says the Rebbe, v'zeu shebesiyum mesechta Shabbos. Hainu siyum means the positive siyum, the opposite of itzah. Shebesiyum ushmiras kol halachis of the mesechta Shabbos. Shekulam nechlolim b'zehirus b'isur d'hoitzah. We are all avoiding us transferring something out of the yirushus of yechida shalaylam. The opposite. Ba. How he da? We are being notified that through our avoida something is affected. Affected not only by Ruchnius, but in the world. On these three aliyos, which comes as a schar of our avoida. And vehein hanirmozois, how great is this? Bisholoish hoinyonim. Ulafi seider zedafkan. That's the order. Poikikin, moidedin and koishdim. Beleil Shabbos, firzois de Rebbe, poalim aliyas amalchus. Aliyas ha'olamis, ubit la'klippis, shalideze soismin upoikikin esacholol ruach tzfainis. Wow. And then, va'acharkach, we reach the next level, and that is moidedin. What's moidedin? Midois, gavaldik, zo, the midos of Atzilus. Shuhu, midom, miloshin midom. As Chazal tell us in Soita, be midos sha'odom moided by moidedin loy. Va'acharkach, oilam to the level of koishrin, union. Shemeir ha'oir shelamaylam is all malchus hamekasher ma'achadoisam v'alidei ze gam mekasher kol ha'oilam is kulam shenasim kulam reshus echad, which is the reshus hayochid, and which means that we are mekasherim, we take all of the worlds and we completely tie them up b'yechidoy shel oilam with Hashem, who is being referred to here as the one of all the world. Gevaldik. Chevra, a big mazel tov for those of us who learned Tesicha, and a mazel tov for the Siyum on the Masechta.